Hello, my friend. Welcome again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul. It's the ninth day of March, and I want to thank you for joining me today on this beautiful Lord's Day. Wherever you are, I pray you are at rest, dwelling in the free favor of God, enjoying this journey in the kingdom of God as it's manifesting in your life and in the world around you. We are not spreading the kingdom or building the kingdom. We are rather living the kingdom out. He's the kingdom builder. We are experiencing that kingdom on this journey. Well, today on Saturday is the day we always announce the Sunday sermon. I've got two announcements for you today. I'll save the Sunday sermon for just a moment. We have recently signed a contract to begin airing our program on a brand new Grace Network called the Grace Awakening Network, G-A-N. The Grace Awakening Network is available on Roku TV. If you have the Roku app, and anyone can, because you can just get the Roku streaming app for free, but Roku TV has a channel called G-A-N. We will be on there Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and that will start on the first Sunday of April, April the 7th. So we are about a month away from the beginning of this. We were on satellite television on a couple of different satellite networks back in the 2009 to 2012, right in that region, 2013, somewhere in there. And I enjoyed it. It was for a season. Felt as if it was a temporary season. And then we had this opportunity that arose just a few weeks ago, and it felt like the right network and the right time. I'm on there with a lot of great ministries and voices of grace in the kingdom, and it's a grace exclusive network, a network designed to present the message of grace and the kingdom. And so check it out if you get the chance. Roku TV, look for Grace Awakening Network, G-A-N. A lot of great programming and a lot of great ministries available for you there. I think you can even stream what is up, so if you miss one. And I'm not putting new content, like I'm not doing an in-studio program for this. What I'm doing is I'm just going to try to be Spirit-led and go back and pick sermons that I've aired over the last several years, series we've done, things we've done, and we're clipping them down into 28-minute programs, doing a new intro and a new outro. We're calling this the Garden of Grace. I'm doing that as sort of a nod to our new church in South Carolina, the Garden Church of the Midlands. And so check it out on Roku devices, Grace Awakening Network. Also, it's Saturday, meaning tomorrow is Sunday, meaning we drop a full sermon. And we go back to video this time, video and audio. Last week's sermon was audio only, our journey to the Netherlands last year. This week, we go back to our home church, Irmo, South Carolina, the Garden Church of the Midlands. We preached this sermon last week. It's titled Seed for the Sower. This is a message that focuses on giving in the context of the New Covenant, not a sermon that I like to preach all that often, to be honest, because there's such negative connotations people have with going to church and hearing about giving. You'll hear a little bit of how we do it at the Garden during this sermon, but we start with Jesus clearing the temple of the money changers. I address what that means. We put that sort of piggybacked on the back of a sermon we put up last week, a week and a half ago or so, called No Trades Allowed. If you haven't watched No Trades Allowed, it'll get you set for tomorrow's sermon. And they kind of work with one another because Jesus is basically in the temple saying you can't trade for the goodness of the Father. Well, he's torn that temple down. He's got a whole new temple. And since he's got a whole new temple, he's got a whole new priesthood. And since he's got a whole new priesthood, he's got a whole new funding system. And so I really go after this idea of the tithe in this message because I don't think that the New Covenant teaches we tithe. I think the New Covenant teaches we give, not of necessity, not begrudgingly, but we give with a cheerful heart. We give as we can. We give as we are led. It's way better to be Spirit-led than driven by instructions, rules, commandments, and principles. And so this is a message that breaks that down. Ultimately, if you want seed in your life to come from the sower, you're going to have to help put some seed in that bag. And so giving remains a part of what we do. And I think this will be a message. This was preaching to the choir for the people sitting in our church, but it's important to establish these things going forward. In a church, it's also important for you as my audience to hear them. So look for seed for the sower. Today, I ask one question. I ask it with the lawyer. We're in Luke chapter 10, verse 29. This is the lead-in question to the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus has just told the man that he's answered rightly. The man answered with the Shema, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? The great question, who is my neighbor, was asked in order, the text is very clear in here. There's no ambiguity of why he asks it. He asks it to justify himself. And that tells me he's trying to decide who he gets by with not loving. Love your neighbor as yourself. He sees a caveat here. He's not alone. The tradition, the rabbinical tradition, the Jewish tradition of that time contained enormous amounts of discussion, writings, and arguments on what constituted the neighbor. And most of Judaism had determined that neighbor meant a fellow Jew. Love your fellow man, your fellow Jewish man, as you love yourself. That gave them the back door out of love, because then if it wasn't a Jewish neighbor, a Jewish relative, they didn't have to love them as they loved themselves. That allowed them to do all kinds of things to them. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in which he said we love our enemies, was a bridge too far. That left no ambiguity. I mean, everybody out there that you ever thought was against you or that you were against, now you got to love them. To say love your neighbor as yourself, you can try to segment who that neighbor is. He did that then. This lawyer did that 2,000 years ago in Luke 10, 29. And I think we're still doing it because we're trying to determine who is more valuable, who deserves. Listen, love is not something that you can deserve. It is not earned. Respect is earned, sure. Love is universal. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus because he loved the world. He didn't give Jesus because he hated the world. He was so mad at the world, he had to kill Jesus so he could save everybody else. That would be God so hated the world. God so loved the world. And in his love, he stepped into the thing that conquers all of us, death, so that it could conquer him, so that he could conquer it by his resurrection. And we live that out. So if he died for everybody, that makes everybody on equal footing when it comes to love. Therefore, who is my neighbor? Jesus doesn't just respond with, well, everyone. No, no, no. Jesus needs to go deeper. He needs to get to the heart of the matter. He needs to dig down to the core to find out why we would ask such a question. So I'm going to lay out for you the parable of the Good Samaritan tomorrow, but I'm going to show you how Jesus throws a curveball to his audience, a curveball that we miss because we're so used to this story. We'll do it tomorrow. See you then. God bless.